Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Toldos Rishon, the first Aliyah in Parshas Toldos. Our Parsha as a whole is 106 psukim, and our Aliyah in particular is 21 psukim, running from Perek Chofei, Pasuk Yutes, to Perek Chovov, Pasuk Hey. So let's take a look at the basic contents of our Aliyah. There's a lot in this Aliyah, and then some points to ponder. So here we have it. The beginning of the Parsha tells us these are the Toldos, these are the generations of Yitzhak, the son of Avraham, and then the Torah emphasizes that Avraham was the one who gave birth to Yitzhak, emphasizing the connection directly to his father amongst his other children. Yitzhak is 40 years old when he marries Rivka, who we hear the attribution. She's the daughter of Esau, the sister of Lavan, and they pray for a child because she is not able to have children, and this in fact takes a long time because you're about to see that he's going to be 60 years old when they actually have children. So it's 20 years of marriage before children, and they pray, and Hashem listens to him, and she becomes pregnant. However, she has some sort of there's something going on in this pregnancy. The children are quite violent, it sounds like. There's a lot of action going on in utero. She says, Lama ze anochi, why is this me? She goes, she consults with Hashem, an oracle of Hashem. The Medrash understands this refers to shame. And she goes and asks. And he tells her that, in fact, there's going to be two nations coming out of you. They're going to separate, and they're going to be counter-dependent on each other. So when one is successful, the other one is not successful, and vice versa. So as she gives birth, she has these twins. The first one comes out, he's completely covered in hair, very fully developed, and they call his name Esav. And then comes out his brother, who's holding onto the heel, and they called his name Yaakov. So here the children grow up, and they come to very different professions. Yitzhak is the Ish Sadeh, man of the field, and Yaakov is a naive, not naive, but innocent, pure individual. He's not wise in the ways of the street. He's wise in the ways of theory and ideas. And Yitzhak loves Esav because Tzayid Befiv, whatever that means, whether it means he provides him with hunting or that he hunts him through his mouth. But Rivka loves Yaakov. Doesn't seem to be there's a reason for it. Then we hear about an episode where Yaakov is cooking this lentil soup, and Esav comes from the field. He's very tired, and he says to Yaakov, pour in this red stuff because I'm very tired. And we know that that's why his name becomes called Edom, which means red. So Yaakov says, on condition that you give me the Bechorah, which is the firstborn, right? Esau says, look, I really need to eat now. I'm about to die. So just give me this lentil soup. And he sells off his Bechorah at this point in time. And he thereby essentially, writes off his future for this very small meal. And then we hear at the very end of the Aliyah an episode where there's another famine in the land, and Yitzhak is going to go down, and Hashem tells him to stay in the land of the Plishtim, which is towards the area of Gaza today. Stay in this land, and I'll bless you, because I will give you all the nations which I swore to Avraham, Hashem says to Yitzhak. Because your father listened to my voice, and he abided by my commandments. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about in this Aliyah. We'll try to touch on some of the most basic points, but there's so much more to talk about. First basic point is why did Hashem, if you look at the Psukim, it sounds like he listens to Yitzchak's prayers more than that of Rivka. They both are praying because they are childless, but it says, Oser loy Hashem. Hashem responded to him. Why is this? Rashi tells us, a hard idea to understand, quoting the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Dalet, that Eino Doime Tvila Tvilas Tzadik Ben Tzadik and Tvilas Tzadik Ben Rasha, that the prayer of a righteous person, the son of a righteous person, has further access than that of the prayer of a Tzadik, who's the child of a Rasha, like Re'am Rivka, which is hard to understand. So what does that mean? The Torah Tumim actually quotes an interesting dispute in the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim, which is to be had between the Taz and the Maharshal, as to whether or not a person should go to a great tzaddik to pray on their behalf, or whether the prayers for oneself in one's raw emotion is more moving and more impactful than that as well. And this depends on this idea over here. Is it that a person is able to pray better for themselves, or is it that one can use the access of somebody who is a closer, a longer relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam? Very interesting discussion, and it's a much broader discussion. We see in the Gemara discussions between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, when they dive in for rain, Rabbi Akiva was answered first. And there's a lot of very interesting topics to talk about when it comes to this. The Torah points out that it's actually not, this is not the case. It's the rule that Ein Chavush Matir Atzmai B'Be'ez HaAsurim, a person who's entrapped cannot release themselves. That means to say that Rivka was the one who's entrapped in this case. The Torah tells us Akarahi, it was her, the biological issue was on her side, but she was not able to fully extract herself from it except for somebody from the outside. So many times in life, it really helps. We try to do everything we can for ourselves, but sometimes we just need somebody on the outside to help us out. And that was Yitzhak helping Rivka out. So far be it from the lack of a prayer, of the power of a prayer, but it's rather the need of somebody on the outside. Another question we could ask is, what was this crisis, this existential crisis, where Rivka says, Lama ze anochi, why me? So Radak says, she, when her pregnancy started giving her difficulty, she started asking her friends, and she says, is this a normal experience during pregnancy? And they all said, no, this doesn't sound right. And at which point she says, Lama ze anochi, why am I different? Why is this pregnancy different? The Sephorno says, no, she was concerned that something's really going wrong, and she's concerned that, God forbid, there would be a miscarriage of sorts. And if that's the case, she says, well, then why was it that my brother and my mother gave me the blessing of children? You're going to be the mother of myriads. Why is it Yitzhak was praying for me for these 19 years, when in the end of the day, it doesn't seem to be working? That's what she's asking. The Ramban says it's actually a darker question, and that is, she's saying, Lama ze anochi ba'olam? Why am I here? What's my purpose over here? If you can imagine it from her perspective, you know, she asks herself, she looks at the fact that her family doesn't seem to be quite the same spiritual caliber. She marries into this very high and holy spiritual family, and she's trying everything she can to make it work, but it doesn't seem, she seems perhaps to realize that her role over here is continuing the legacy of his family, and even that's not working out. She says, Lamozane, why am I in this world? For what purpose am I joined this family? We'll see in a few moments what it is, really specifically her purpose, which is a very unique and precise purpose. But one can imagine from her perspective the existential crisis that she's going through. Now, let's consider the names Yaakov and Esav. You'll notice something interesting, and that is that Esav is clearly a agreement that both the parents, Vayikra'u, they both call him his name Esav because he is fully made. And therefore they describe him as a fully made child. Now, the word for made, something which is completed, is actually the word asui. So it's interesting that Esav is missing that one letter. He shouldn't be Esav, he should be asui, which is a yud at the end to imply that he was fully formed. What is interesting is that Yaakov is actually named after Akev, which is the heel, but he has an extra yud, which is Yaakov. He's not called Akev. It's almost as if the yud from the end of the implied name of Esav went to the name Yaakov, almost pushing Esav into a matter of the past. As Esav he was, but Yaakov is he will be. Pushing Yaakov's name into a future-facing word is what is he going to follow? What is he going to capture? What is he going to channel of the forces of Esav in this world? A very, very interesting perspective. Another question is, what is this whole episode here with the Bechorah, the meaning of this Bechorah that he's selling and negotiating about? So the Rashbam points out that here we hear a story about a person who is so following his indulgence, is so taken by the experience of this world, that you can just hear it in his language. He rushes to ask from his friend, and that's why he keeps repeating himself. He says, give me from this Adom Adom, this red stuff. In fact, the Sforno points out that when a person becomes too involved in this world, they lose sense of subtlety and detail, which is why he doesn't even know the name of the dish. He can't say it's lentils, and he doesn't even give a description of the part, the subtlety of this, the smell. All he describes is as red stuff. When you lose a sense of detail, you lose sense of subtlety. You lose sense of subtlety in the material world and certainly in the spiritual world. Here we have a terrible little story about a person who's here and now is so frontal, it's so encompassing that they have no way to even think about their bechora, what's going to be at the end of the day, their responsibilities towards that, or their spiritual world at all. This is the sad story of those who get too caught up in this world. Now, it seems that Esav and Yaakov become very different people. And what is the failing? Is there a failing is there something that the parents could have done? Says Rav Hirsch, yes. In fact, part of the failing over here was the fact that it says in Aralia, Vayigdalu Hanearim, the children grew up together. And Rav Hirsch points out is that there's a rule we learn from in Mishnah, which is Chanoich Ledar Al Pi Darkoi, is that you need to educate every child according to their way, according to their needs. If you put an Esav and a Yaakov on the same school bench, it's going to be a problem. Yaakov needs more spiritual attention. Esav needs more attention in terms of directing and channeling his energies. If you put them on the same school bench, that's the original failing. And the failing started at the very beginning. That's what Rav Hirsch argues. Finally, one last question in our Aliyah, and that is, Zidia Yitzchak seems like he's on the way down to Mitzrayim, but he doesn't go down to Mitzrayim. Why does he not go down to Mitzrayim? So it's interesting that you'll see in our Pasha, the Yitzchak does almost every single thing that his father does. Almost every episode of his life is the same as his father. In fact, there's not even a Pasha dedicated to Yitzchak. We hear about all these Parshios, Lech Lecha, Vayera, and Chayesar, really Avram-centric Parshas. He's the main protagonist. Then we're about to hear, and told us, and onwards, is really Yaakov and Esav, and then Yaakov and his children. Where's the Yitzchak Parsha? Even told us doesn't have so much of Yitzchak, and even the wells he digs are as far as wells. It's almost as if the middle of Yitzchak, which is Gevura, is maintaining the spiritual high that his father was able to get to that pinnacle. Because if you were to move, he'd be moving away from the pinnacle of growth that Yitzchak had, that Avraham Avinu had achieved. That's the middle of Gevura. But that does not mean doing everything exactly the same, says Rav Herschel Schacht in his introduction to Be'ikvei Hatzon. Because sometimes Yitzchak is different and he requires a different application of the same idea. And that is because Yitzchak is an Ola Tamima, he was really a sacrifice which went up on the mountain, he himself requires that he cannot leave the land of Israel. So the same principles of Avraham Avinu's life are true in Yitzchak's life, but the application of them are going to be unique in the way that he doesn't go down to Mitzrayim. He has to stay in Gerar, in the Philistine territory, which is still part of the land of Canaan. Very important to understand how we continue the legacy of our parents, the tradition of old, in the complex reality of the new. And that's the lesson of Yitzchak. With this, we close the first Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.